Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you today, filling in for John Hockenberry. We're finishing up our two-part Takeaway book club today with your thoughts on Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates. Now, this is a powerful meditation on race, framed as a letter to Coates' teenage son. It's a book that Toni Morrison declared to be required reading for all Americans. Of the many of you who wrote in to share your thoughts on this book, we invited three listeners, all parents, to join us for a discussion here in the Takeaway Studios. Abel Bartley is an associate professor of African American and urban history at Clemson University in South Carolina. Alex Ragone is division director, principal, really, at City and Country School in Greenwich Village here in New York. He lives in New Jersey. Also with me was Anita Romero. She's director of operation for Weeksville Heritage Center in Brooklyn. That's a museum. She says Coates' ability to put some of her deepest fears as a parent into words was unsettling.
My husband and I are parents to six children between the ages of 23 and 33, and four of them are boys, and they're African-American and Latino boys. It was unnerving that it touched on fears that I'm even afraid to admit to myself sometimes about my children, their safety.
Fears for their physical safety?
Yes. As parents, we all have fears when our children leave, you know, our homes, when they go away, when they go out into the world. I can caution my children not to drink and drive. I can tell them not to take drugs, but I can't tell them to shed their skin when they leave the house. They will be Black and Latino wherever they go. And unfortunately, that's a danger.
Professor Abel Bartley, I want to turn to you with what Anita just said, because one of the things that Coates does in this book, he says this is about one thing. It's about the safety of the Black body, that the threat is to your physical well-being. Your body can be harmed and people will forget about it when you're Black. And I think she's speaking to that.
Well, I think that was a very important and probably one of the most powerful parts of the book, the fact that the African-American body, particularly African-American male body, is something that is taken for granted. I grew up in the South, and I knew that there were certain places I shouldn't go, certain things I couldn't do, that things could happen in an instant, and my life would be taken. And I always wondered, who was really going to care? Who's really going to cry? And that's always a situation that African-Americans deal with. And, you know, the body is just that, just a body. And you don't contemplate the idea of a soul or the idea of intellect or anything. It's just a body that could be destroyed at any time.
Alex Ragone, for listeners who don't know, you're a white guy.
Yep.
Like me. And so you read this book as a white guy, like me. One of the other cores of this book that Ta-Nehisi Coates offers is the idea of the dream, you know, the capital D dream. And that's the idea that white folks in this country generally live in the suburbs, live without the threat of violence, without the threat of destruction to their bodies. And the dream tells them that they achieved this without plunder. They achieved this without stepping on the shoulders or even the necks of somebody else, in this case, Black people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough bit of analysis to confront. How did you react?
You know, for me, as a white man, I learned the dream. I didn't learn reality. I was at GW while he was at Howard, so I was in D.C. during the Million Man March. And I can remember thinking, why, like, I don't understand why somebody would want to go to an all-Black institution. And I just didn't understand. And I feel like I can listen now, and I can hear, and I'm trying to absorb this narrative, and I'm trying to understand what that's like, and I'm trying to see the reality. And I think that's what he talks about as the book progresses, is like what's freed him is seeing reality and knowing what real is and being beyond the dreamers, being beyond the dream.
Anita Romero, you're nodding at what Alex has to say.
Yes. It's one of the reasons why I think this book has touched a nerve, and it should be required reading for teachers, for students, for police, for many of us, because the dream is killing us. The thought of the dream is killing us. You can't rewrite history, which is, I think, the conflict sometimes, is that people don't want to acknowledge the role our ancestors played, we played in history. But we have to acknowledge it. There has to be a reckoning, and I don't mean that as revenge. There has to be an acknowledgement of what took place. Until the injustices are acknowledged, whether past or present, we can't have an honest conversation and we can't have real understanding in this country.
Just to add on to that, I think that for me, if you can ignore the news in the last year, you're really a dreamer, because it is just horrific. And I think the age of when you watch videotapes of black people being killed in cold blood and then police trying to cover that up, you just can't deny that there's wrong and the system needs to be reformed. And I think that for me, the more we talk about this, the more we can, as a country, grapple with this dream and get out of it and realize that that reality is not the same for everyone and we can fight against that.
Professor Bartley, you've said that black folks have been having this honest conversation among themselves for a long time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the experiences that he mentions in his book, I would suggest that probably every African American has some kind of racial scar and they can relate to what he talks about or what he says. It's the same story we tell. I have daughters. I don't have sons. But the same stories we tell our daughters, same stories our fathers and our mothers told us. These are the things. This is the reality of America. I want to go back for a second with that notion of the dream, though. That idea of the American dream has been a recurring theme through African-American history. And it's one of the things that has kept us hopeful in this country. Even when Maya Angelou was able to read her poem before President Clinton was elected, one of the most powerful lines was she's talking about arriving on a nightmare but praying for a dream. Martin Luther King in 1963, the dream, the dream, the dream, the idea that somehow or another we might get the same opportunities that whites have.
Well, I want to disagree on one point. There's still the notion that if we teach our children to not only believe in the dream but act in a certain way and avoid certain things, that they can avoid being injured or killed even. And I hear a lot of African Americans and Latinos saying that if Trayvon or Eric Garner or Sandra Bland had avoided certain behaviors or acted differently, the fate would have been different. And I think they're still in the dream that we have control over those outcomes, and we don't.
And there's an implication there that a young man doesn't have the right to wear a hoodie.
Exactly. One of the most powerful passages in the book for me was a mother who had lost her son because he was playing his music too loud. And she told Ta-Nehisi's son, "You have every right to play your music loud. You have every right to wear what you want to. Be who you want to." And it makes me sad because I remember a time when my children were younger that I believed preaching those things. You know, pull up your pants, don't wear a hoodie, don't wear this, and you'll be safe. But I know better now.
Abel Bartley, Alex Ragone, and Anita Romero Warren are the Takeaways Book Club for Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates. We ended this conversation with a long discussion on a phrase President Obama likes to use, the idea that the moral arc of the universe bends towards justice. Now, it's an idea that not all three of my guests agree with, and Ta-Nehisi Coates himself has said that he disagrees with it. If you want to hear more of that conversation, download the Takeaway Weekender podcast, subscribe to the Takeaway podcast, and you'll automatically get our Weekender podcast on Saturday mornings, too. Just subscribe to the Takeaway on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can always respond to anything you've heard on today's program. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or comment at thetakeaway.org. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. I'll be back all next week. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.